I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
By the end of the week, he's out of here.
You wake me up for that? Come on!
Dewey Finn would have sold his soul for rock and roll, but nobody was buying.
You're an embarrassment.
You're out.
Maybe it's time to give up those dreams.
Don't you miss rocking out?
You're not a teacher, Ned. You're the cross-dressing incubus from Maggot Death.
Dewey, I'm not a satanic sex god anymore. I'm a sub, and soon I'll be a certified teacher.
Mr. Schneebly?
I'm the principal here at Horace Green Prep, and we need somebody to start immediately.
So how much are we talking here?
$6.50 a week.
Hello, this is Ned Schneebly.
Hey there, and welcome to Rewatchability, part of the Entertainment One Podcast Network. This is a podcast where we rewatch old movies and TV shows to see how they hold up over time. My name is Blaine Waters, and with me as always is...
Robin LaRonde!
Is that like your Jack Black kind of thing going on?
It's like my rock and roll kind of thing, Blaine.
All right. And then we have over here. Oh, my God. That was the worst introduction. No, I wanted you to say your name.
Oh.
But,
did you want me to sing my name?
you don't have to give it as much gusto as Rob did, but...
J.M. McNabb.
Okay. That was...
I'm more
pretty
of a,
paltry.
More of a Mike White character.
J.M. McNabb.
Those are the two contrasts, a Jack Black or a Mike White.
It's a very psychological. All of these characters are analogs for parts of our personality.
Sarah Silverman. She's somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
Like silver's kind of grayish between black and white. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
that.
There
okay.
You go. Yeah. And we have a special guest joining us, one of my best friends, Alex Bien. Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're like a music teacher.
Well,
you were a music teacher.
I still teach a little bit on the
what
side.
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, I used to teach full time.
Did they find out that you were teaching kids about rock and roll?
Okay, yeah. Let's clarify one thing. His roommate is a teacher.
Oh, we should say that we're talking about School of Rock, too, if you didn't see that on the heading on this podcast.
On your Zune.
Yeah, on your Zune. Yeah, if you didn't write that on the CD, you burned this on.
That's how I listen to all my classic rock music now.
Good. But you used to teach music.
Yeah, I used to teach, and then I abducted a bunch of kids on a bus. No, that didn't happen. I used to teach. I actually taught... in a school, it wasn't a school of rock, but it was a rock school with a K.
No.
Yeah.
Well, rock, school with a K.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I know rock
two
already
K's
has
in
a
row.
I mean, it's a bad sign if your school can't spell school. That's a red flag.
I mean, there was one dad in particular who was really concerned about practicing, you know, before doing the math homework.
But, right.
I used to teach full time, and I found it soul-sucking. Is
Whoa.
That a horrible thing to say about being a music teacher?
Wait, these children didn't inspire you, didn't, like, help you get your life together?
They didn't reach in and make your heart pump warm blood?
No, there were a few kids that were great that I enjoyed teaching, but overall I found going into a room for 6 hours without a break with no
mostly
windows.
Brats. And,
yeah, mostly brats. Well, no, just mostly, like, not interested. Their parents read, like, an article in Maclean's magazine that said, get your kids in music lessons and they'll do better in school. And so the kids were like, ugh, and like they hadn't practiced.
The end of this movie is basically Jack Black triumphantly starting a kind of a school you're describing, like a rock school. So you're saying that he's basically like, the first week will be fun. and then his life is pretty much over.
Well, the thing in the movie that's interesting is that, like, the kids are all gifted, whereas in the real world, kids are all just kids, and, like, one in every 20 students is gifted. So the rest just don't practice and don't want to be there.
This whole movie is bullshit, basically.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Whoa, my eyes are being opened. So was your school actively influenced by the Jack Black School of Rock? Was it like, did you use those sort of teaching methods? Like, was it like Montessori, but
did you just
scat
at kids
deep purple
all the time?
Bidi-bidi-boo!
No, it was like a, it started as a summer camp out of a music school, a private music school, and sort of grew into a bigger thing. I was just a teacher there. It wasn't my school, but I just taught at it.
Yeah, okay. And you told me a story one time where this kid, like, loved you so much that he, like, bought the movie for you.
Oh!
This movie. He said, you're my Jack Black.
Oh!
And you do have a beard, you know?
In context of the movie being compared to Jack Black is a little terrifying because he's a problematic character. I did have one student who was one of those 1 in 20 students who was actually a great kid. And he was like, at the end of the semester, which was actually the last time I was going to be teaching, was before I moved to Toronto, he was like, hey, I bought you a gift. And he really wanted me to open it there with him. And I unwrapped it, and it was School of Rock on DVD.
And you were like, fuck.
No,
this movie sucks, kid.
I'd seen the movie before, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is really great. And he's like, you remind me of the Jack Black character. And then his dad took me aside after when they were leaving. He's like, my son bought that for you with his own money, and he really wanted to buy it. Like, he didn't want me to pay for it.
That's really sweet.
So it was really nice.
That's wonderful. That's really nice. The emotional note that this movie probably needed.
Yeah. Of course, sadly, that DVD is now worthless.
Yes.
Most DVDs are.
Yeah. You got to stream it now.
Yeah.
At least he didn't pull you aside as, like, one of the dads in this movie and was like, never talk to my kid again. That would have been the worst.
Yeah.
This is nice. This is a nice
story. I've
never
had any dads like that, thankfully.
That's good.
But also, like, I guess the school was maybe inspired by the movie, hence changing the letter in school to avoid being sued.
Probably, yeah. I would have to imagine so. I mean, we all taught private one-on-one lessons, and the piece that was definitely missing was, you know, going from doing the guitar solo or the bass thing. You know, a kid practicing bass in the room alone doesn't sound like much. So getting them in the room together to play something and give it context was great. And it was, definitely motivating for the kids to get the ones that were.
So they, like, actually had bands that did that?
Yeah.
Like in the movie?
Yeah, and it's still
fun.
Going on, and it's grown. Like, they do it year-round now. Not just in the summer times. They started with the summers and added March break camps, and now they do it throughout the
year. Lots of privileged rock camps for privileged kids.
Oh, yeah. Which is not how we did when we were playing in bands when we were teenagers. It was like, you know, scrap together some crappy guitars in your mom's garage.
And then she tells you it's all a waste of money and you're not going to be anything. You're like, Mom, I'm going to be the biggest rock star in the world.
Oh, my God. Can we put Rob in that camp just so he can actually live out the fantasy?
Definitely as an instructor. They use
an instructor. Oh, okay. I was thinking.
Damn.
All right. So, Rob, do you want to run down the
didn't talk about our, like, times watching this movie. Did you guys?
It's been like a month for me away from this podcast.
Do you remember? You forget how to do this?
I don't even know who you people are anymore. when did you first see this movie, Rob?
Well, I saw it in university, I think, when it first came out. And I was sort of looking forward to it because it had a lot of elements that I liked. Mm-hmm. I liked Richard Linklater films already. Sure, Dazed and Confused was a pretty seminal rock and roll film for me.
Did you know Tenacious D before this movie?
I was already a Tenacious D fan. Like, their first album was great, and like the stuff that they did on Mr. Show and
so funny.
The Tenacious D Show. Yeah, it was like, you know, really, I thought, subversive, fun comedy. Mm-hmm. And so I would say a Jack Black fan going into this. And, you know, I mean, he's like a sort of like not very fit, kind of funny, not handsome dude who's trying to like make his way in the world. I sort of identified with that.
No.
Sadly. And he loves, you know, he loves the rock music as I really did, I think, at that point as well. Mm. So I was really excited for this movie. And I remember not really being super impressed.
No?
Yeah, I found it, like, kind of disappointing because I love all the elements in this movie. I like Mike White as well as a writer and director. I'd already seen his sort of weird independent movie Chuck and Buck.
Yeah.
But then also he went on to do Enlightened, which I really like, and he also wrote some Freaks and Geeks. So I was like so primed for this movie to be like awesome. And I don't know. I found that it did not rock sufficiently for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
what about you, JM?
I watched this on a DVD that I found on the street. Someone had just tossed it aside.
In your music school? Or?
It was.
Yeah, okay.
There was a post-it note to my favorite teacher.
Now, take this allowance money.
No, I rented it and I think I didn't see it in the theater because I like Jack Black too, but I was a little skeptical about a movie in which he was the lead. Right. And not just the lead, but like the only adult for most of the scenes, you know? Like it's a lot of Jack Black. So I didn't know if he could be the star of a movie because he'd been you know, a funny supporting guy up to that point.
Yeah,
so
kind of like a Robin Williams-esque role a little bit. Like, he needs a big, big comedian. And
Yeah. He has a lot of, like, space to fill in this movie. But I rented it, and I loved it. I thought it was great. And I'm watching it. I've seen it since, but watching it this time, I kept remembering really specific trivia about specific scenes in an odd kind of way. And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, I rented this DVD. And then the next day I watched it again with the commentary on it.
Oh, Jesus.
But I didn't totally remember that. I just kind of – it was like this weird, you know – like that Scarlett Johansson movie where they make her smart and she's just like, I know Chinese now. You know, it was like that. Oh, it was like, scene, yeah. I know how they shot the scene, but I'm not quite sure how I know that. Yeah. No, it's a great movie. I've always liked this movie. I watched it a few years ago, too. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Cool.
We'll get into maybe why Rob didn't like it. Because I mean, there are things I didn't like about it, too.
Okay.
I will talk about those.
For sure. For sure. I'm kind of on board with you, Rob, because I love Tenacious D. I remember, like, laughing my ass off to their skits in that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this is just going to be Tenacious D teaches kids. And
right.
I was really excited for that.
Wasn't Kyle Gass one of the teachers in the school also?
That's what I thought when I watched it. But it was not him.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Is it just a guy that looks like him?
It was another guy that looks like a man baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How mad would you be if you were...
I know. It's like, that guy took my role? Like, I'm better than that.
Anyway. That was the other guy who auditioned for Tenacious D.
Yeah, exactly. I got you back. I'm in School of Rock. Yeah, but I expected Kyle Gass to get in there. Like, I expected that kind of, like, troop of guys to kind of be in this movie.
Where was Lee?
Yeah. Exactly.
Where was Dave Grohl?
Where was the Sasquatch? and I wanted it all there, but it wasn't. And so I was pretty disappointed, but everyone I saw it with really loved it. And so I was kind of like, I want to love it too. So when I watched it again a little while later, I did like it a lot more,
okay.
I think. Because I was kind of appreciating it on its own merits, but we'll talk about that. When did you first see it, Alex?
Well, I saw it when it came out. I can't remember if I saw it in theaters or when it was released on DVD, but I was in high school and we were all playing in bands.
Right.
I'm more in jams camp on this one. I really enjoyed it. I remember really liking it when I saw it the first time. But I mean, I was playing in bands and we were, you know, we were doing improv, and so we all thought we were really funny. and you know, did like singing improv stuff and loved, like, worship Jack Black. Loved all his, like,
Because he's like singing improv king.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I remember really enjoying the movie when I first saw it.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Well, let's get into the rundown of the movie.
Okay.
Finally. God.
School of Rock. So it's about this guy. His name is Dewey Finn, played by Jack Black. He is a rock and roller. He's in this band called No Vacancy, which is a reference to not having any vacancy.
Okay, good.
And they're like a sort of like Judas Priest sort of light metal band, and they're like gearing up to play in the battle of the bands, as all bands do.
Yes.
Bands are forced to battle to the death because there are too many.
In the Thunderdome, yeah.
In the Thunderdome.
Sure. I do want to stop you right there and just point out how great the opening credits for this movie are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like in the frame of the movie. They're not like special effects done on top. They're posters throughout the
posters, and like the first title is like Paramount Pictures Presents on the back of like a hoodie.
Right.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Yeah, some great filmmaking by Richard Linklater.
You guys have all been in bands though, right? Like, I'm the only one here that doesn't know anything about music.
Yeah. Your opinion is invalid.
Yeah, I'll just leave.
Hold on though, because you're a musician though, Blaine.
No, I'm
what?
Not.
Blaine,
I play guitar
and
on my own.
Can I out you as being a drummer?
I was a drummer in like high school. Yeah. I bashed away on the drums. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, you had a drum kit and you.
Yeah, I did some. Did some.
You
stuff.
Just needed some schooling.
Yeah, I needed school with a K.
You just needed some burnout to pretend to be a substitute teacher and teach you how to rock.
That was my dream. But like, did you guys attend Battle of the Bands with your bands? Like, did you do that? Alex,
yeah,
you did that?
I was in a few Battle of the Bands.
Did
in
you
high
win
school.
A Battle of the Bands?
I did. We won a Battle of the
what?
Bands.
What? Against some school kids?
No, we won against a band that was definitely a better band than us, but we were playing on our home turf, like our
right,
school's
okay.
Battle of the Bands, and they were the rivals. So we won, and then I later joined their band because they were.
Oh, betrayal!
Yeah. It was.
That's Shakespearean.
Yeah, but Iago. We were a better band.
Did you win any of those with a cash prize or anything?
No, just bragging rights, I think.
Oh, man.
I don't remember if there was. My
band's first show was a Battle of the Bands, and we won. We won like second place or something. So then we went to the next thing that was like at the Docks.
Oh, really?
Docks.
That's pretty sweet.
And then we
saw Megadeth there.
Oh, really?
At the Docks.
So we played at the same stage as Megadeth.
Yes.
And we won that. And then we moved on to the next round. It was like a year later or something. And in that time, we became a real band. It became way too cool to play these shitty Battle of the Bands. They were basically pyramid schemes for teenagers and bands.
Yeah.
But we won iPods. And so we're like,
whoa!
Yeah. And so we
You're
never
like,
got
I want a Zune.
You had to go to like the next Battle of the Bands to get your iPod.
Oh,
so I was like, and this was, you know, back in the day when iPods were like a real thing. So we were like, there's no way we're not going to get our iPods. So we went and played, even after we felt like we were too good to be playing this Battle of the Bands. We played it. It was at the Palladium, which is basically a big arcade.
And, the Palladium?
And there were probably where
do you even play there? Like next to the...
They had like a little stage. And it's like, and honestly, like these
next
Battle
of... Tekken machine or something?
These Battle of the Bands honestly are like a pyramid scheme for kids because what they do is like... They slot you based on how many tickets you sell
so
they can make money. So we went on first because we sold zero tickets. and we went. We got our iPods and we got free passes to the Palladium. So we played video games all day.
Nice.
That's a win.
It was a win in the end.
It's a real bummer that at the end of this movie, the kids don't get to play at the Palladium.
Or get iPods.
No, that's
that
true,
been
too.
Good.
I'm just picturing kids playing like Rock Band at the arcade next to the actual band playing.
Well, I remember when we were playing, or after we played, we were playing like mini golf or something, and we could still hear the bands playing on the stage. And there was probably like a 15-year-old kid playing, a little older than in the movie. And the introduced song is like, this next song is about my favorite possession. It's called... AK-47.
Like, so you're Canadian, kid. You don't know AK.
You're a Canadian kid from the suburbs. You don't have an AK-47. Your mom's waiting in her station wagon for you out in the parking lot.
It shoots water. I'll get you soaked. But he gets kicked out of this band because he is just too rambunctious. And he like stage dives while they're doing their show and they have to end the show. And they replace him with a dude named Spider.
Spider.
Who replaced you in your band?
So my original band, I was like the Jack Black character of the band. I was the band leader. So my old band just dissolved. But the band that I joined when I left that band, they replaced me with a guy who was like a spider type character. He was like really long hair,
daddy long legs.
Yeah.
Oh God. Just call me Daddy. Nope. No, we'll not do that.
Did you have like a stage name?
Yes, which I had forgotten until this very moment.
Yes.
I'm going to answer this embarrassing question. My stage name was Princey.
Princey?
Yeah. So,
wait, like Prince?
Yeah.
But
no.
Esk?
Wait, what?
I was in a girl band. Okay. I was the guy in the
girl like
band.
A ladybug scenario?
Well,
did an adult dress you up?
No, it was just the drummer was a girl, the lead singer was a girl, and I was the boy, like the token boy in the band.
Right.
So they referred to me as Princey, like you're the prince of the band. You're Princey. Not in any way related to the musical icon Prince, but yeah, that was my stage.
Damn. But Jack Black.
That got real.
Yeah, that's a very embarrassing story.
I'm sorry, man.
I wish it was a cooler story.
I thought it would be fun, but you have a damaged look in your eye now.
Blaine was like, come down to the podcast. Tell all your cool rock and roll stories.
It won't be embarrassing. It'll be just fine.
You got mini golf and Princey.
Oh, man. But Jack Black's life, it kind of sucks. He just plays in this band, which they kick him out of. He lives with his buddy, Ned.
Yeah,
Sneedley, played by Mike White, and his overbearing, no-fun, joy-kill girlfriend, played by, of course, the biggest joy-kill in the world.
The notoriously humorless.
Sarah Silverman.
It was so hard to watch her in this movie.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
You're so much better than this character.
I know.
Oh,
that was the thing I really didn't like when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Because I saw that she was in the cast, and I really liked her, and she's just... No nuance to the most buzzkill, nagging stereotype of a girlfriend.
No, it's like Richard Linklater took like a baseball bat to these characters. Like, he was like, you are going to be bent out of shape and into one thing. Like, it was just so horrible just to see her yell at Jack Black the entire time.
I mean, you owe me a lot of money as it is.
Yeah, try $2,200.
Okay. You guys, the band is about to hit it big time. We're going to win Battle of the Bands, and when I'm rolling in the Benjamins, I will throw you and your dog a bone. Good night.
Oh, give it up! Your band has never made 2 cents!
Patty, come on, I'm on this.
Oh, you're on this? You're on this? He's walking all over you!
Mommy, could we please talk about this later?
No, we can't talk about it later because Ned and I have to go to work. We have jobs.
Yeah.
The two of them as a couple were both pretty bad. Like, him as like a sniveling, spineless, it was real stereotypical as well.
Well, there are a lot of stereotypes in this movie, and we'll talk about some of the more problematic ones later.
But. I do think, like, the other thing that's annoying about why she's such, like, you know, kind of supposed to be an annoying nag in this movie is because everything she says is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Everything she says is rooted in common sense and the law.
Yeah. Her character actually has a great sense of humor. She's just tired of this shit. Yeah, but they are pressuring Dewey to pay the rent. Apparently, he hasn't been paying the rent, and that's a problem. Yeah. Am I right, guys? Come on. Get off his back. He's trying to rock. And so he doesn't know what he's going to do. He's going to have to, like, sell some of his guitars, and it's a real goddamn tragedy.
Yeah.
Until he gets a phone call from Joan Cusack. And she says she thinks he's his friend Ned, who is a substitute teacher. And she says that this school needs a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. He needs the money. He says, great.
What's a little fraud?
What's a little fraud?
And this is a weird moment rewatching it because when he decides, oh, I can make some money off of this, and he takes the phone, he does the whole phone hijinks thing, and then pretends like he first impersonates Ned, he puts on like Ned's voice.
Yeah.
He's like, this is Ned Schneebly. And then when he meets her, he's just completely ridiculous, normal Jack Black voice.
She should have been like, hey, you sound like that first guy I talked
to. Yeah, exactly.
It's tricky. Yeah, so he, you know, gets himself put together kind of as much as a Jack Black-esque character can and goes to teach this class.
At this private school. It's like a pretty prestigious private school.
Yeah, it's called like Horace Green or something like that.
It's based on a real private school called Horace Fields, I think.
Wow. Anyway, very prestigious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Joan Cusack's the principal there. And so he goes to this class and, you know, he doesn't really want to. He's not really much for the teaching at first. He's like, you know, maybe, you know, he just wants the kids to go for recess. But
this was like the most realistic part of the movie, I think. Like, his character acted exactly how his character would act in this situation. And I didn't remember that part of the movie, and so it was kind of refreshing to see. Because I thought he really got into teaching the music right away.
Yeah.
But he was just a horrible human being for most of it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, some of the kids, they are so fucked up by this system and by the man that they want to learn. That they are concerned about their education. Maybe their parents can't afford to buy their way into college like Lori Loughlin or whatever.
They need some marks to get there.
They're not quite that rich. Yeah. But so Jack Black, he sort of, you know, fine, he teaches them a little something. He teaches them a very important lesson about the man. Mm-hmm. And who is the man, Blaine?
I mean, the teachers are the man, right?
That's correct. Alex, do you know who the man is?
He says the man is the prince of the school principal is the man.
Yeah. The and, man is who keeps us down.
I feel like I'm learning something. This is great.
And he also teaches them that the way to stick it to the man is through rock and roll.
Yeah.
So that's a very important lesson that I think we all can take to heart. And as, you know, the kids go do some actual learning. They have a music class. He learns that the kids are actually good at things. They are not just like
crazy
these lazy
good at things.
Like, public school.
In the 99th percentile good at music, I'd say.
Yeah. He sees them taking their music class, and they're all playing quite beautifully. They're accomplished. There's a kid who's playing like a nice classical guitar, mm-hmm. and it sounds really quite lovely. And he's like,
I can use this.
Yes.
Well, because he's been looking for a new band. He's been putting up flyers. Literally, he'll take anyone to be in a band after he gets thrown out of Casual Vacancy. No, that's the J.K. Rowling book. What was his band?
No Vacancy.
No Vacancy, yeah, no, sorry.
Yeah. He couldn't get Barry Jive and the Uptown Five back together either.
But this part is also crazy because he's hard up for money, and there's one scene where he's trying to sell his guitar over the phone. They offer him too little money. But then when he realizes the kids are good at music, he goes to his van, and his van is just filled with gear. Like, he's got drums, he's got keyboards, he's got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of instruments
he's
he does not play.
He's a mobile studio. He's like,
in a really crappy old van. That's not a safe way to store all your gear, man. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna get stolen.
Yeah, he could have sold any of that.
Yeah.
For any amount of money.
For more money than he would get paid committing a federal crime.
Yeah. But so now that he knows that the kids can play music, he decides to put together his band. Mm-hmm. And so he takes the kid who is already quite good at guitar and teaches him, like, the three basic riffs of classic rock. Smoke on the Water. I just don't know what I can remember.
Iron Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm a bad
fan. Yeah, I mean, all these kids don't learn from him. There's no learning here in terms of, like, musicianship.
Isn't there?
No.
Don't they learn a little about self-confidence?
No, they learn a little bit about that, but he doesn't teach them how to be better musicians.
Wait, they weren't already confident? They were playing pretty well in that other band.
He teaches them to be, like, more showy.
Yeah, like
rock musicians
instead of classical musicians.
He doesn't teach them anything about music. It doesn't really seem like. No?
He teaches them more simple music. It's like power chord shit. Come on.
Yeah, he's like, dumb it down. Come on.
Yeah, and the thing that irks me a little bit about this movie is that he, like, forces his very specific taste in music on these kids, which, I mean, I love all that music, but I feel bad for these kids who probably just want to play some, I don't know, Taylor Swift or whoever was Taylor Swift in 2003.
Well, she says, I like Christina Aguilera, and he's like, no! And then the other kid says, Puff Daddy. I'm like, what's wrong with Puff Daddy? Like, that's... No.
Well, he could teach him that.
Yeah.
Riff.
We both have the same thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a good way to lose the Battle of the Bands. Play that song from Godzilla.
When you were teaching in a music school, did you force your taste in music on the kids, or did they, like, want to play something that they actually liked?
I typically let the kids lead with whatever they wanted to learn because, I mean, if you want to guarantee them not practicing, try and force them to learn something that they don't like. So, yeah, I'd usually be like, well, what do you want to learn? And they'd tell me, and then I'd prepare it and bring it the next week and teach it to them.
What was the song that, like, offended you the most to have to teach these kids? The wussiest or, like, least rocking song?
Wonderwall, probably.
Yeah.
Like, that's like your, you know, your greatest hits of beginner guitar songs. You know, your Wonderwall, your, what's the Green Day one? Time of Your Life.
Yeah.
That's a, it just, it wasn't even that it offended me to have to teach it. Just like after you teach it the 100,000th time, you're like, this is destroying my love of music.
What was the first song that you learned to play on guitar?
I can't remember. Man, I don't know. I honestly can't remember.
Will you jam?
It was a long time ago.
I guess this was probably the first song. I remember in the like the book they gave us at school, this strange man who didn't look like our regular teacher. When we first learned guitar, they gave us a book. And I remember the first song in the book, which I guess was probably the first song I learned, was Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not the worst.
No, it's like three chords or whatever.
But this was also the mid-90s, so like I also learned Wonderwall.
Yeah. So you were taught rock in school, like a school of rock?
It was not that rockin'. It was a little more folky.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what did you first play, Rob?
The first song that I taught myself to play was Paranoid by Black Sabbath, obviously.
Really?
Of course.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But also when I was in like school, like we didn't have any cool rock instruments at first, but we would like play songs that were vaguely rock, and I would always get like a little bit excited to play Wooly Bully or something. Maybe not Wooly Bully, but, you know, like Billy Joel's It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. Yeah, rock and roll.
It's in the title. It needs to be rock and roll.
Now, I will say this about Jack Black. At this point in the movie, we're not supposed to be, like, won over by his plan. Like, he's still doing... The reason why he brings out these instruments and makes the kids play it is because he's selfish and wants to enter this battle of the bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has like a big Grinch face on every time he's like doing something nefarious. He has that like touching his fingertips together thing going on.
And the curly
mustache. Yeah, he does. It's very like cartoony almost. Yeah.
Well, also,
scheming.
The like worst thing about this whole thing is that he lets like, you know, these kids be in the band. And then other kids are like, hey, can't we be in the band? He's like, ah, you guys are security. And then, I mean, he tells a couple of like 12-year-old girls that their job in the band is to be groupies.
I was rewatching this going, he didn't actually just say groupies. That's terrible.
Yeah, and then they come back and they're like, we looked up what groupies were. Fuck you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's kind of where this movie is weird. Like, it has a toe in the movie that I want it to be, like the Bad Santa.
Right.
And the, like, that type
you
of
want it to be, Bears. Like, Bad Santa?
And Bad News Bears. Like, I want it to be, like...
You just want bad... What about Bad School of Rock? Do you like
Yeah.
I mean, it really was a Bad School of Rock. But, yeah, I want it to be more, like, adult funny instead of, like, the family movie that it was. But then it had these things that were not family-oriented at all.
I don't know. So, I mean, I don't think that joke is funny, but mm-hmm. I like that you could watch this movie with a kid. And a kid just wouldn't know what groupie meant.
Sure, yeah.
What's a groupie, mom?
I mean, again,
I
don't
groupie.
I don't think that joke should necessarily be in the movie.
Sure, but it's really his character. Like, it suits his character a lot.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, like, what you're missing is when you say, like, he's just foisting his music on these kids, is like, yeah, at that point in the movie, it's still a little, like, a shitty thing to do. He's making them listen to stuff. But it's when he gets them to start expressing themselves and writing their own songs that the kids start getting something valuable in return, and he starts learning from the kids.
That's true.
And he becomes a better person for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these kids, they don't have easy lives. There's a few things that are going wrong in these kids' lives. Like, there is the one kid, Zach, who plays guitar. He is not allowed to rock by his father. His father has said, you may not play the rock and roll music. He is oppressed by his old man.
And that's the absolute worst of it.
That's the worst of it.
All these kids are pretty privileged.
Yeah.
But Jack Black lets them rock.
Yeah.
And that's great. And then he learns to express himself with rock, as you said. He writes that that song about the school of rock.
Hey, hey, ho, ha. What is that?
What's what?
What are you playing?
It's just something I wrote.
You wrote a song? Well, let's hear it.
Nah, it's not that good.
Come on, I want to hear it, Kurt Cobain.
Okay, but I'm not much of a singer.
It's all right.
Maybe we were making straight A's, but we were stuck in a dumb days.
Yeah, but again, like, if it was something more dramatic, like if the kid was being abused at home, you'd be like, okay, we got to put the School of Rock on the back burner and do something about this. This is not just, writing a song is not going to solve this problem.
This is now a school of going to the police, a school of getting you help.
And his character does not have that capacity to be like, let's put this on the back burner.
No, yeah.
Yeah. He would have said that to the kid, like,
shabba-dee-doo!
Yeah.
Now I'm really trying to confess something.
Yeah. Boop-a-doop-a-doo.
Well, it doesn't have to be that dark, but I think, like, you know, there are other... I found, like, some of the kids, like, they could have had, like, more developed backstories or, like, something that was, like, you know, sort of brought into the...
And none of these kids were, like, it's school. None of them were being... bullied or have anxiety or like.
He did. One of the kids mentions that he was bullied,
but he's being bullied by his dad, right? Was that the Zach kid?
Yeah,
no, they're just like kid. What they're saying, like, what are things that bothered you?
Yeah,
and like one of the kids says bullies.
Yeah, but that's not like those kids don't have any real like hurdles to overcome in this movie. Is kind of what I'm.
They're gonna have to make up for 3 weeks of not learning anything.
We can't read. But we can read music.
Yeah.
But probably not.
Only tab.
Only tabs.
I don't think they needed a hurdle necessarily.
It just seemed like a very easy movie. And that's why it also seemed more like family-oriented and kids-oriented.
Yeah.
Because there was no, like... There was no corners on it.
There was no complications.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the biggest complications are that, Jack Black wants to sneak these students out of the school to attend the Battle of the Bands. And that is a field trip.
Yeah.
And you need to get, like, you know... permission slips, and it's a whole rigmarole.
You need to get the principal drunk is what you need to do.
Yeah,
to go on a field trip.
That's right.
And play Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. Yeah.
Such a good song.
Well, that's what he does. He takes the story.
Her line about substitute teachers not being allowed to take students on field trips, like, that's just, there's no world in which substitute teachers, that's true. It's just how it ends up, even he takes her out and does the drink and everything and convinces her, that still wouldn't happen in reality. That's not a thing that happens.
Yeah. Also, doesn't the union call you for a teaching job? Anyway, it's very weird.
But it's a private school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's different then.
No rules.
It's a rock school. Fuck the man.
At the end of the movie, the whole school changes its curriculum to solely rock. We've learned the error of our ways.
Thank you, Jack Black. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does take the principal out to try to get the kids out of the school on this field trip. And this is kind of where Joan Cusack finally is allowed to, like, have a scene and act a bit. And she's so – I love Joan Cusack. I love her in any movie she's in. And she's just a bit part in this movie. But I think she adds so much to it.
Oh, she's great. She's
amazing. She has the funniest line by far in this movie. The best line – it's not even a funny line, but the way she says it, it's later. We'll get to it.
Okay. Yeah, but they have to take the kids to audition for the Battle of the Bands, and while they're getting ready, like, one of the kids wanders off and is hanging out with some dirty old rockers in a van.
Yeah.
And that ain't no good. So Jack Black has to go and find them, and they, like, and they don't get to audition because the show is full until one of the kids, the one who's the band's manager, pretends that all the kids are terminally ill. And so they agree. Yeah,
is this movie dark enough for you yet?
It was a lie, J.M. It was a lie.
Yeah. Well, then you find out they actually are terminally ill.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they kind of get allowed to come and do a song at the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Which is, yeah.
Like, you need to sell 500 tickets first, kids.
Well, that would be easy because they have parents. Kids are, like, the easiest market because parents have to buy things.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Well, the kids haven't told their parents at all about any of this yet because Jack Black's kind of sworn them to secrecy and told them it was a school project.
Right.
And we have this kind of the parent-teacher meetings coming up. And Jack Black has to do a presentation in front of all the parents. So he's not prepared. And this is kind of when it all starts falling apart.
Well, he gets a check from the school. They finally pay him, and it is received by Mike White because it is in his name.
Yeah, Schneebly.
I told them to make it out to Cash. And he initially doesn't want to do anything because we see the whole backstory. Like, they used to be in a band together, and then, you know, he gave it up, and now he's sort of, like, become a shell of his former self. But then Sarah Silverman, Lady Buzzkill, she finds out about these, you know, kids being taught rock and roll, and she has a problem with this unlicensed teacher.
Committing identity theft.
So she calls the pig.
The man.
Which is 100% what any responsible adult should definitely do in the situation.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I was cheering. I was like, thank you.
If you're out there listening and you suspect that somebody who is living in your house is teaching children under an assumed identity, call the cops. That's why we're talking about this movie.
Yeah, it's
happens
first step.
Too often.
Yeah. but he goes to the parent-teacher conference anyway because he's still, like, dead set on taking these kids to the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah. And he confesses to Joan Cusack right before.
And she doesn't really believe him.
No.
She thinks it's a joke. Yeah. Or, like, she thinks, like, he doesn't believe it himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like this scene. This is a funny scene.
Yeah. It's sweet.
But, then the cops come and it seems like, you know, seems like bus for his dream.
Yeah.
For all of their dreams.
This is the hardest cut in the entire movie because Jack Black is surrounded in a classroom by 40 parents. The door is being barricaded by police.
Yes.
And then cut.
Not barricaded.
Well, like, they're
there's
in.
There's a couple of cops standing right there.
Yeah, they're
there.
Standing at the
door. Yeah, but they're not, like, piling chairs in front of the door.
No. But, like, they're standing in the door. They're between him and the door, let me say. And then cut. Him running down the hall with his guitars.
And then another cut, and he's in his apartment.
I was like,
cut to just two dead police officers.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, that's kind of the only way he could have escaped.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal them, like, and then run.
But then they don't, like, go to his house or whatever to pick him up.
Yeah. They know where he lives.
Well, so the next day, of their own accord, the children, they decide that they're going to go to the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
So they sneak out. They pick up Jack Black at home.
How do they know where he lives?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shut up.
I'm just wondering if any of my old students knew where I lived. That's terrifying.
Once you teach someone once, they know everything about you.
But also, if he's living with Mike White and Sarah Silverman, wouldn't she just be like, he's back, he's here?
Did they not return home that night? Oh, it's so confusing.
Nah, his door's closed. He's probably not home.
His curtain on the living room that he's sleeping in.
But they go pick him up, and they bring him to the Battle of the Bands competition, and they proceed to fucking rock. But the most important thing is that Jack Black, he suggests that they play Zach's song. Even though they haven't rehearsed it as well as the other ones, it's the one to play. Of course, he's still going to sing it because, you know, it's Jack Black. You got to see him sing, right? You know?
Yeah, I know. I felt that was kind of like, I was like, oh, just let the kids do their thing. And Jack Black can, like, learn from that and not be involved. But no.
No.
Jack Black.
No one wants to see that.
It also just shows that he hasn't really changed over the course of the film as a character. Like, he hasn't.
Yeah. Well, no. Okay, Zach asks him to sing the song.
Yeah,
okay, Zach was going to sing.
Not much of a singer, he says.
Yeah, and the thing that I love is the change, because in movies you have an image or you have images. The first image is like their character, and the last image is the same thing, but it's different because they've changed and they've grown. And in this, he crowd surfs at the beginning and hits the ground, and now he crowd surfs and does it successfully, and now he's a changed human being. It was the weirdest, like, show of a change of character I've ever seen. It's weird. Anyway.
Quite the journey.
Exactly. More people showed up. That's
good. But even though these kids are cute as muffins, even though they rock.
What muffins are you eating that are cute? That icing is so adorable.
There's muffins that have icing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, those are cupcakes.
Have either of you seen a muffin?
I think muffins are cute.
All right.
But anyway, these kids, they rock everyone's socks off. They went over the parents who previously were angry because of the whole, impersonating and fraud and endangering their kids.
Not
and their
teaching
kids.
Them anything.
Oh, yeah. And that's the line that I love when all the parents are mad at Joan Cusack and she leaves the room after they go to the Battle of the Bands and comes back. It's like, so I've just been informed your children are all missing.
Yes.
It may be the funniest line delivery in any movie.
It's so good.
It's just the way she says it.
Yeah, I loved her in this. Yeah. I didn't actually remember her much from watching it when it first came out. I feel like I was like Jack Black focused, but she was great when she leaves and she stands in the corner when all the parents were berating her. I just thought it was so funny. And it just, she's like on the verge of a breakdown. It's just like she plays it so perfectly. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's almost excited to go back in the room because it distracts her from the breakdown she's having. That's why she's like, your kids are missing. She's really excited about not facing her own problems.
Yeah, and like her character is sort of given a little bit of depth because they're like, oh, she used to be cool, but then, you know, she had to be responsible like an adult.
Yeah.
But she's still on the inside, you know.
Yeah, pretty cool on the inside.
But even though these kids rock everyone's socks off, when they announce the winners of the Battles of the Band, it is, in fact, No Vacancy, who sucks more than before somehow. And it's devastating. It's devastating to all the kids.
The winner of this year's Battle of the Bands competition is No Vacancy!
Contest. They weren't even listening to the music.
Boo!
No!
What?
What's wrong?
Except the crowd calls for an encore. They go out and they rock some more.
Because they had to play the Jack Black song.
Yeah, because Jack Black wanted to sing some more.
Exactly. Three encores, please. Yeah.
And that's the School of Rock, the entire schedule. Like a school schedule.
I see. Yeah, music. I see what you're doing. All right. Well, that's the movie. We're going to come back with some trivia. We're going to talk more about what we thought about this movie after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, this is Rewatchability. We're talking about School of Rock. We have a special guest, Alex Bien, who's joining us. And I have some trivia questions for you guys. Although now that I know that JM is listening to the commentary, you might know everything.
It was almost two decades ago.
you knew how they were shooting the scenes.
No, I didn't. I remember. I'll tell you what I remember. I remember the part where they make a joke about Meg White.
Okay,
Richard Linklater was like, "Oh, that was one of the trivia questions."
That's the first question. No, it wasn't.
He was like, "Oh, we feel bad. Like we like Meg White."
Right,
I remember that, and I remember them saying that. The scene where they play Immigrant Song, that it was really hard to get the rights to the Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
Like, they had to screen the scene for them.
Yeah.
They had to jump through a bunch of hoops.
Yeah, they made, like, a Jack Black video of him, like, begging them to do the...
Did they?
Yeah, and
oh, wow.
He played the song in front of a crowd of, like, 100 or 200 people that all chanted for the... Like, they did a whole song and dance, literally, to get that song.
Well, they were supposedly notorious for not allowing their music to be licensed for anything, but... There was like four Zeppelin songs and Almost Famous.
I don't know.
But then after this, I think it pretty much opened the floodgates. After this, there was like Zeppelin songs and car commercials and everything. They were
and
like,
now,
we can make money off our music.
But now you probably have to get the rights from them and the artists that they ripped off.
Yeah, that's right.
their family's estates.
Right. How far back does this go? okay, so... question number one, which two actors in this movie were actually neighbors in the same building?
Whoa.
Oh,
wow.
I know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, let's see if anyone else can guess.
Neighbors in the same. I would guess Mike White and Jack Black, but
and you'd be entirely correct.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah. Okay. Little Jay Leno there.
You guys hear this? This is Mike White and Chuck Black.
Yeah, but this, you guys hear this? About this?
They worked together quite a bit before this movie, right?
Yeah, they worked. I think maybe after this movie, they worked together too. Because they had a production company together,
right?
At some point.
Did you guys ever see the season of The Amazing Race that Mike White
was
on?
Yes.
No.
And his dad.
Yeah, it was him and his dad.
That was good. Yeah, he was on The Amazing Race with his dad. He didn't win, but I was cheering for him.
Yeah, I just watched one episode because it was. I don't watch.
That's so weird.
That show, but,
my ex-girlfriend was into it.
All right.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, he was. They were neighbors in the same apartment building, and he came up with the idea for this movie while watching Jack Black. He came home one night, and Jack Black was naked in the hallway, and just hugged him and went back into the room.
Yeah, well, that could have inspired a different movie.
Yes. What I read is that Jack Black was always running around naked while listening to classic rock in the hallway.
Well, probably the same. Same. That probably happened as well.
So let me get it straight. So the naked hug in the hallway inspired the movie about the man who impersonates a teacher to teach school children?
Yeah. Yep. I need to move this into a school.
Oh, Mike White was like, I cannot allow this person near children. Or can
I? It's a loop.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Question number two. Which famous cartoon character is the drummer in this movie named after?
What?
Yeah.
That's a roundabout question.
What's
the drummer's name?
Exactly. I just realized that, like, the question answers itself if you know the drummer's name.
Isn't
Charlie Brown.
No.
Oh, Fred Jones?
Yeah.
Freddie Jones from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
How did you know that's the drummer's name?
He says it a lot.
No, yeah.
It did
say his name, and I did recognize it, and then, yeah, I remembered it.
Yeah, the Kevin Clark is the drummer in this movie, and he is now part of like a pop punk band.
Oh, and as a pop punk connoisseur, did you listen to?
I did listen to.
Did
their
you
EP.
Sample their wares?
I listened to their EP all the way through, and
how many blinks out of 182 do you give it?
That is the best.
That's fantastic.
That's fucking amazing. That should be the score for
every
pop-up.
Blink 182 record.
Like,
yeah.
The Rolling Stones should use that to talk about the albums.
Call me Jan Wenner.
That's fucking great. It's a healthy 160, I'd say. No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. He's a drummer now, and Jack Black went to see a show of his with, like, their band, T, on. And they still hang out and stuff. So that's really nice.
Well, the band did that big reunion show. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. I didn't see the reunion show. But
it was like last year, I think?
No, it was a few years ago. Because I remember I watched this movie again about 4 years ago. And I remember after I watched it, my wife hadn't seen that clip. So we watched that clip of, I guess this must have been maybe it was the 10-year anniversary of the movie or something.
Yeah, I think it was.
At South By, they did all the kids who were now older, all played a show with Jack Black, and it's really sweet.
Yeah, that's
pretty
cool.
And I defy you to crap on this movie. But actually, I don't do that because you've been doing that already.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Are there more questions?
There's one more question.
Okay.
What other film, you might get this right away, have Jack Black and Joan Cusack?
Oh, my God.
Together?
Blaine, that's not even a question.
Yeah.
All right.
They're basically playing the same characters.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both in High Fidelity.
True.
You know, I've never seen High Fidelity.
Oh,
really?
Terrible.
That's such a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first movie where they were like, Jack Black, just be Jack Black.
Yeah.
And then he sort of turned that into a career.
yeah, exactly.
This is the logical extension of that character.
Yeah.
After he loses his record store job.
the original script they had a love story in it. That they fall in love over that bar scene.
At the Stevie Nicks song?
Yeah, and they get together at the end of the movie. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm so thankful they didn't do that. Like, there's so few movies with no love story in it. Like, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is one. But, like, it's hard to think of a movie with no love story in it.
Yeah.
And this is, like, It's not about the love story. It's about these kids.
I'm sure there are a lot of movies without love stories in them.
I counter that, Blaine. I think that
I just watched Apocalypse Now. There wasn't a lot of romance in that.
Marlon Brando and Marty Sheen.
I mean, there were
the
sparks.
Horror,
in it.
The horror of love. That's what they're talking about. No, but wait, what was I going to say? What were we talking about? Oh, the love story. Here's the thing. I mean, I think that Jack Black is a Hollywood actor who is not a conventional leading man type. You know, let fucking Brad Pitt not have a romantic love interest. Like, well, the only time Jack Black has, like, basically ever gotten a romantic love interest is in The Holiday, and then they're like, that's absurd. That's absurd that he would be in a relationship, or Kate Winslet would have anything to do with him, or Cameron Diaz, I can't remember which.
I think it was Kate Winslet. I think Cameron Diaz was with Jude Law.
It's absurd.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good.
He must have had a romance in another movie.
Shallow Hal? That's the only one I can think of.
Oh,
that's not.
Well, we should do that on the podcast.
Sometimes,
yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Woo.
Oscar winning director. What's his face? Peter Farrelly.
I will say, it seems like a horrible, problematic movie that wouldn't have aged well. It's still probably better than Green Book.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that movie, what's that guy's, Viggo's name in that movie?
Oh, Frank, Tony Lipinski.
Should have been called Racist Frank. In the follow-up to Shallow Hal.
I'm Racist Frank. Can I get a different driver?
It's about Viggo Mortensen plays a guy who gets tricked by a genie or something into seeing all black people are now white people, but they still just make jokes about black people. That would be the spiritual sequel to Shallow Hal, is what I'm saying. Jesus. Have you not seen Shallow Hal?
I've never seen Shallow Hal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Either.
But it's something.
It looked bad, which is why I didn't see it. It looked offensive in so many ways.
It's horrible.
It's pretty offensive.
I mean, Shallow's right there in the title. It's
Yeah.
Well, it's a movie entirely dedicated to, like, teaching a guy not to judge people by their bodies through 90 minutes of just fat shaming and bad jokes.
A great idea.
Yeah, it's awful.
Right, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's your trivia?
Well, those were my...
Why did you bring up Shallow Hal?
Are you guys aware of the TV show School of Rock?
I want to ask about that.
I went on a studio tour and I saw this. I saw them filming it.
Really?
But I never saw the show.
Wait, what studio?
I think it was Warner Brothers that I went on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I was in LA. Yeah.
Did you see kids actually rocking?
Oh, Paramount. It was on the Paramount studio tour.
Okay.
And right. No, it was like a dialogue scene. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Because, like, the one really impressive thing about this movie is that the kids are actually musicians. They actually play all their own instruments. They play more of their own music than Jack Black does in this movie because apparently his guitar solos are overdone. Yeah.
Oh, you can tell, like, as soon as he starts playing a guitar solo, he just, like, starts wildly flailing so you can't see the fretboard.
Yeah. I slowed it down. I saw where his fingers were going.
I think that's really the charm of this movie is that the kids are really playing music. And the kids also don't feel like actor kids for the most part.
Yeah,
they seem very genuine. I love that about this movie. And that's why, you know, when I looked, I was going to watch this movie a few nights ago and I looked on Netflix to see if it was on and it just the TV show came up.
Yeah, right.
That's how I found about the TV show.
Yeah. And I did not watch it. I was going to watch it to see what it was like, and then I didn't because I enjoyed the movie so much.
Did you watch it?
So I was just purely for research. I was like, I'm going to see if this is anything as good as the movie.
Oh, God.
It is not.
Our guest did more research than us. This is great.
Well, I don't know about that, but the guy that's playing Jack Black's character is not playing the character. He's just doing a Jack Black impression, essentially.
No.
It's not a good one. Like, even the voice intonation is like, is like Jack Black's the way he does and it's
subpar
just
scatting. Just subpar scatting.
But also,
boop a doo boop boo.
Like, it's a TV show, so it probably goes on for like years, right?
Yeah,
so is he like robbing his children of actual like years of education?
I couldn't watch more than the first 10 minutes of the first episode. It was painful.
But it's the same premise, right?
But yeah, it's the same premise, and even the first episode is hitting all the same beats as like the first like half hour of the movie. So it was,
I could see the will he get found out thing going on for a few seasons, you know, like drag that out, but that seems exhausting.
And then he has to like go to like greater and greater depths to conceal his secret. until he has to kill a kid.
Right. Yeah, she becomes like Breaking Bad or something.
Did you guys also hear about the musical of School of Rock?
Yeah.
Made, produced, composed by Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
That's the weirdest thing.
It was supposed to be really good, wasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't believe that. I don't think. I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber is known for his taste, but, you know, I don't.
I feel like he could do anything and people would be like, Andrew Lloyd Webber did it. It's great.
In the stage version, he gets out of that parent-teacher meeting by dropping a chandelier on the cops.
That's probably what he did in the movie. It just happened off camera. Like, yeah. You don't really see it happen. Yeah. But
they couldn't afford the chandelier.
He was barricaded.
But it is interesting in this movie, like the one girl who isn't able to sing because she's not very good auditions by singing Memories by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And she like had a TV show or something when she was older, didn't she?
I believe that's iCarly.
Yeah.
Jack Black was on an episode of it.
Jack, this makes me like Jack Black because he stayed friends with all these kids.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
I mean, I think that's like the best part of the movie is seeing those moments where Jack Black gets to like raise the kids up, and there are like a few of those moments, basically one for every kid.
Yeah.
Where he's like, mostly they're like, hey. Why don't I get to be in the band? Then he's like, oh, no, you're totally a thing in the band. You know, you're the singer. Like, he has the one girl who he compares to Aretha Franklin.
Right, yeah. The only kid that he doesn't really do that with who's one of the main kids is, like, the costume designer kid.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that for a second, because he calls him Sparkle Pants.
No, he calls him Fancy Pants, which Fancy Pants. I had to immediately Google, is Fancy Pants a gay slur?
Yeah, like it seemed like it.
I thought it was a slur, but the internet couldn't tell me either way.
But it seems, I don't know, a little weird. And
I think the movie was trying to be inclusive.
Definitely.
But, I mean, if it was made today, I think they would have handled it a little differently.
Well, I think Mike White was trying to handle it in a certain way. He's said that he's bisexual. He has a gay son.
His dad's gay.
His dad's gay.
Didn't you watch The Amazing Race?
So I think some of the things that I heard about this movie, swirling around this movie, that he wanted to disown School of Rock because it treated the one gay character, it really like amped up those qualities, these certain, qualities of the gay character that he didn't think should have been put through a megaphone.
Mike White said that?
Yeah, he's said to have said that. But I couldn't find anywhere where he did say that.
Okay.
And he wrote School of Rock 2. He made a production company with Jack Black.
There's a School of Rock 2?
What?
There is a School of Rock 2. It is never going to be made. because they would only do it if Richard Linklater came back, and he said he's not going to come
back. Like, we're going to do it, but it's going to take place over 30 years. We're going to start shooting it now and finish up around 2060.
Well, they did have the reunion. It was a little boy who
asked.
That's
true,
I also read on the subject that the kid who I can't remember the actor's name, but the kid who plays the costume designer was like bullied relentlessly at school after the movie came out.
Oh, man. God.
It was so bad that and he's spoken up about it now, but it was so sad to read that because I thought he was great in the movie, but the Jack Black character does kind of like, whenever he makes like a suggestion, he's kind of like, no, not those costumes. Like the way he reacts to the costumes the kids designs was like.
Well, I did like the moment where he brings out all the school uniform costumes and Jack Black's like, I'm not putting on a costume. He's like, no, I made one for everybody. I do like that moment.
Yeah, but it's like disappointing that he's not allowed to rock.
Yeah.
He has to be the costume designer because.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if he played an instrument, he would be allowed. There's a lot of kids that are roadies or like lighting people.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, I mean, one of the things that he said, I saw him talk about it on YouTube, and he was saying that like being in a major Hollywood movie as the gay kid when he was that young going into high school was pretty rough because he was just gay kid the entire time. And
well, I think you said, I wouldn't even say gay kid because they're like little kids.
But that's what they call them. Like that's.
But they didn't say it. I mean, he was very effeminate. But I think to like label the movie, I think you're being a little harsh on the movie, even though I think it is not great.
Well, no, and I'm not trying to be harsh on the movie. I'm saying like that's kind of what people took from the movie and like the tempered, like the atmosphere at that point in culture. So like that, even now, I like I could type in gay kid from School of Rock and he'd come up, right?
Like, you could type in a lot of things and he'd come up.
But yeah, it's just like that's what he was known as. And so he said that he doesn't blame the movie for any of it, but he does say that like it was, you know, in terms of someone figuring out their sexuality, he dove into the deep end and that was pretty hard as like a 13-year-old yeah. kid.
It's unfortunate. Yeah.
So that's all. I don't think he blames the movie for it, but yeah, he had a difficult life, and and now he's like helps. It was video, you know, for Pride, and he was like, yeah, now I try to help other people be comfortable in their skin, and they're like,
through rock. Great.
Well, what do you do? And he was like, oh, I'm a life coach, and I was like, oh. Not that I'm looking down a life coach. Anyway,
Jack Black is basically a life coach with a guitar in this movie.
Yeah.
No, that is. I mean, it's
rockin' Tony Robbins.
You hear that about the kid from Star Wars too?
Yeah,
he was just Jake Lloyd. Jake Lloyd.
And also the guy who did Jar Jar Binks' voice.
Well, he was an adult.
Yeah, true. But he was like relentlessly bullied. Anyways, I mean,
that I know. Yeah, yeah. A lot of lies.
On the internet.
On the internet.
Yeah, you don't have to be a kid to be bullied. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So don't make movies, guys. Yeah.
No.
If you have like a creative vision or a way to express yourself, just squash it down and keep it buried deep inside
that's
so people don't make
wants.
Fun of you.
Yeah, be like the kids at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Great. So let's talk about what we think of the movie now. Did it hold up? Is it rewatchable? Rob?
There are parts of it that I didn't love. I wish that the movie was like a little bit, I wish it was a little bit more sensitive to the kids. Like I don't think it treats like the girls in the class very well at certain points. Like, and the gay kid is, portrayed pretty flamboyantly. And, like, I get it's supposed to be funny, but it just doesn't sort of work. The movie itself, I find that I wish it was, I wish it had, like, a few more, like, edges and complications to it. Like, it's pretty, like, light and fluffy. And I think, like, it could use just a little bit more. I'm not saying, like, Jack Black has to go like half Nelson or something.
Oh, God.
But
or God forbid, full Nelson.
I think that it's sort of trying to play two things. It's both trying to be a movie for adults who like love rock music, and it makes lots of classic rock references, and you know, it feels really good when these kids are playing those songs. But then it's also trying to be like a kids' movie and, you know, to work for them. And I don't know if it really does either. And I feel like it's not a very personal project for Richard Linklater, even though, like, obviously he's used rock music before in Dazed and Confused, and he's obviously great at licensing songs. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he puts a lot more, like, effort into some of his other films.
He was totally
Have you seen The Newton
movie.
Boys?
No.
It didn't feel like a Linklater movie to me, though. Like, compared to his more iconic stuff. Like,
there should have been more walking around Paris for me. That's my
I don't know. Part of what I like about Richard Linklater is he does so many different things.
Yeah, and I get this is also him trying to stretch himself. Like, I think this was his, you know, this was him making a big Hollywood movie was accessible for people. And I think that's totally fine. But I don't think I'll watch this one again. Mm-hmm. I think it has good stuff in it. But,
Yeah. I mean, I feel exactly like you do. But I think that there's value to it for adults as, like, rock dads. You know,
right.
Like, it's because you do have to, like, kind of grow up. Yeah, the rock dad's in the room right here. But, like, you do kind of have to grow up, from my understanding of it. And you do lose a little bit of the music somewhere along the line. And this is, like, growing up in the best possible way and almost getting to watch someone's path doing that. And so maybe it's useful that – I don't know.
For sure.
But, and in that way, like – having the hard edges. So I'm going to mention Blink-182 again. They just did this video for Dark Side. There's all these kids doing Fortnite dances, and fucking fans hate it. They're like, Blink-182 used to be cool, man. And I was like, I don't know. They're nearing 50. Like, yeah. They're not anarchists, and they never were. And
also, they were never cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, wholesale not true, but go on.
I've heard that before, Jam.
We're going to just draw a line down this side of the table. Real punks.
You know what? Pause the podcast. Rob, go downstairs to my van. I've got guitars, keyboards, some drums.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach these guys.
I thought about bringing a guitar. We could do, like, our you know, our most rockin' riffs, because we all play guitar, you know.
Should have brought a guitar.
Nah, you know, I didn't think you guys would rock hard enough.
Wow. Hurtful.
I didn't want to embarrass you in front of all of our really rocking listeners.
Anyway, so I think it does have value as like a family movie in a lot of ways. And so I do think it's rewatchable. What about you, Jay?
But wait, hold on. What were you saying about the Dark Side video?
Oh, the Dark Side video. Like, everyone hates it because it's, like, kids in a, just being kids in, like, a Blink-182 video. And it's, like, not ironic. And it's not trying to, like, do anything. It's just kids
dancing. They're wearing clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no buxom nurses.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so everyone's, like, really mad at that. And I was like, I don't know, they're old. And, like, seeing the behind-the-scenes video, I still like Blink-182 a lot.
It's great that artists are allowed to mature.
Yeah, and like, you know.
And what could be more mature than a bunch of kids playing?
Yeah,
what are they doing, playing a video game? Or?
No, they're, like, dancing.
Right.
And that floss thing, right?
And the Blink-182 guys were, like, it's so nice to see, like, they're, like, such nice kids and no one bullied each other. They're also supportive of each other and they were just so nice and talented. And they're like, we love the next generation. I was like, that's the reason why you do a video. Anyway.
Yeah.
Or they wanted a video where they could stay at home and still collect a check.
They were in it.
All right. I'm sorry.
God, you're always looking on the dark side, which is the name of the video. Anyway, what did you think, JM?
I love this movie.
Good.
I think there's some problems with it, like you're saying. Like, I think it seems very, in a lot of ways, immature by today's standards. Like the fact that it's about a bunch of guys that just want to rock, and like the women that won't let them have fun. And I mean, there's basically four adult characters. Two are dudes that are cool and in bands, or one was in a band, and two are women who are like authority figures that want to follow the rules. It seems very antiquated. And like you said, even the fact that it was a bunch of dudes writing script, one of them was like, one of the kids is really flamboyant.
Yeah.
Oh, is it, you know, about, you know, allowing them the space to discover what they enjoy doing? No, just a couple of jokes. Like, I get why that is weird now. And I feel sorry for that kid if this movie led to bullying. I really do. But I do think, and in a lot of ways like that, depiction kind of undercuts the message of the movie, because the message of the movie is very much about allowing kids the space to express themselves.
Yeah.
And when the movie succeeds at that message, I love it. I think it's great. I think the final scene where they all play that song is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? I love Richard Linklater. I don't think I like anything in his movies as much as I like that scene. Maybe Celeste and Jesse should have gone to a battle of the bands in one of those movies. I don't know. But no, I love that scene. I love just like the kids are natural and they have chemistry with Jack Black.
Yeah.
Even though they're not actors, and that's not an easy, like, this movie could have failed super hard, and I don't think it does. And in terms of you saying it's not like edgy enough, one, I like that you could watch it with a kid.
Yeah.
I think that's a plus, not a negative. And secondly, like, I think maybe Alex and I see it differently as parents, because I still see it as like really towing a line between being edgy and not. Like, there's a joke where he says, like, your kids touched me and I touched your kids.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's a pretty dark joke.
Which I remembered when I saw it originally thinking that was so funny when I was 15 or 16, whenever I saw this movie. And then when I rewatched it this week, I was like, that is a really bad joke.
I feel like you could lean into that and make it funny. But this movie sort of doesn't want to go that far.
Yeah.
And
it pulls that punch.
Yeah.
It's an awkward climax, honestly, in this movie.
It's almost watching this movie almost feels like cringe humor to me, like at certain points.
Yes.
Like watching Jack Black trying to, you know, be cool in front of these kids.
Like, if Ricky Gervais was in that same role, it would work even better.
Yeah. And like,
well, I'm going to stop you right there.
But thinking about it, like, also Mike White's
as a cringe movie.
Enlightened is very like cringy. It's like hard to watch at times. Like, yeah, I do like that aspect of it, but it doesn't quite nail it.
All right.
I don't know. I disagree. And the other thing I was going to say is I watched this movie, because we're recording a little earlier than it comes out, obviously. I watched this movie at the night after the day where we dropped our son off for his first day of school.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wait, regular school?
Regular school.
Oh, my God.
But it was, damn. Like, I mean, it's
not $15,000 a year private school.
I meant rock school.
No, obviously, like, this podcast is making boatloads of money, so it was a private school, of course. No, but we dropped Bob at school, which was, you know, a big thing and hard, and also hard for a lot of the parents I saw there and hard for a lot of the kids. My kid was fine, thankfully. But, like, to go home after that and watch a movie about a guy who lies his way into a school and impersonates a teacher, abducts children at one point.
You're like, I'm going to go
I'm
there
I'm calling
at lunch.
The school just in
like,
case.
Yeah. My point is, it's edgy enough.
Agreed.
That's funny.
Fair.
All right, what about you, Alex?
Yeah, I thought it was rewatchable. I mostly feel like when I originally watched it, it was just a movie, and now I'm coming to it and I'm seeing, oh, this is a family movie. And I think the scenes, once it gets going with the kids where he's like teaching them to play, I thought they were sort of, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was heartwarming at spots, but not without overdoing it. Yeah, it was, I thought it was like, I see it's rewatchable because I will probably watch this with my kid one day, but
yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to, I don't need to watch it again. It was, but yeah.
Yeah, your kids don't need to go to rock schools because they're going to have like rock homeschooling from both
yeah,
you guys.
He's going to keep them home.
Yeah,
from
my
school
kid's trying to take my guitar and he's a year and a half. So right now he's getting a lot of negative reinforcement around the guitar. But I'm not letting him break my guitar. So yeah. And I don't know. It was fun to reflect on my time teaching kids music. And, you know, they're. Kids don't really come to you with stuff like they do in the movie with Jack Black, but there were some times where kids would come to you, like after a failed audition or something, where they come to you like, and you have to build them back up, and they're coming to you like crying and stuff. And it's, you know, around that age, it's a tough thing for them. And so, you know, it definitely hits that realistically a little bit.
Yeah.
It can
be there for the kids too. Like this movie can kind of be there like that for the kids.
Yeah, I think it would probably encourage kids to play music and to start bands and stuff, which I think is a great thing for kids to do. So
sweet.
From awesome. That perspective, it's good.
Alex, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thanks so much for having
this movie.
Me.
And thank you for listening at home. If you want to check out more of our podcast, you can at rewatchability.com. You can hit us on Facebook at rewatchability/rewatchability, Twitter at rewatchability, and get a T-shirt. You can speak to us on SpeakPipe. You can do a whole lot of things. And we'll see you next week.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
All right. Nice.
Stick it to the man.
That great Blink-182 lyric.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.